All right, welcome to the podcast. My name is Doug, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm a recovering sex addict.
Hey, Doug. I'm Keith. I'm a believer in Christ, recovering sex and relationship addict.
Hey, Keith. Welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you on today. We've have separate episodes often. We're obviously good friends, too, but it's exciting to get to talk to you actually on the same episode. This is where everything aligns. It's quite an exciting episode here with episode 86. So today we're going to be doing step 11. So we've cut George. He's been eliminated off the island and didn't even know it. No, not really. We just decided to talk about step 11. It was something that was on Keith's heart, and it came at a perfect time because that's where we were in our cadence with the podcast. So it worked out really well to talk to him about that today. Before we jump in, just, you know, Doug's always a little random. I wanted to share a couple things that have kind of been on my heart and on my mind lately. I think obviously stewing with an election going on. So if you're listening to this in the future, this was the election of 2020. So there's some Trump, Biden, and all kinds of things going on with that. So if this is like the year 2030, just trying to get you acclimated to what that is. But I think one of the things that I've talked about on the podcast before were how when there's different communities of people or different groups of people or different belief systems, we seem to polarize ourselves. And like, so we assume that when we polarize, the group that I'm a part of is good, and the group that someone else is a part of is evil. And there's no room for both of us to be good. Like, we seem to always say we're good and they're evil. And I talked about this in another episode. We obviously see it in politics. We see it in religion. We see it in sports. We see it in so many things. Like, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I can't believe anybody could ever be a Redskins fan or anybody could ever be an Eagles fan. They must be idiots, you know, and I'm being a little silly. But, I mean, the idea is that we don't like this other group so much that we begin to hate them, and we begin to assume that they're stupid and they're ignorant. But what I talked about in the other podcast and what I wanted to remind us about today and what I wanted to be reminded of personally was that we need to get to know people. We need to become relational enough that we start to make an exception. And then once we start to make an exception, I think that door comes down. So what I'm saying is, let's use my silly example. I think all Eagles fans are stupid, and how could you ever grow up and think the Eagles are a good team to watch? But then I get to know someone that is an Eagles fan, and I get to know them, and I'm like, well, he's not as awful as I thought. And so maybe now I open that door a little bit to where I can actually have a conversation and not just shut the door and assume that he's evil and he's wrong. So whether that's in religion, politics, whatever that is for you, where you work, all kinds of different things, the geographic region you live, try to allow yourself to let recovery be this point to where you can open your door to your heart a little bit and listen to other perspectives. That's one of the things we talk about when we sit in our circles, is that we may not agree with everything that someone shares, but we allow that space to be there, and we at least open our heart enough to it to entertain that and to listen to that. So I just wanted to remind that as well. And then my wife and I voted, and I looked over as we were leaving. Actually, our daughter just turned 18, and she got to vote as well. And we were kind of waiting on her, and I looked over, and my wife is crying. And I was like, is everything okay? Like, what's going on? And she's like, I don't know. I'm just tearing up at the election. I was like, this is getting a little heavy if you're crying here in the voting area. But I didn't know why. And so I asked her, I was like, what is happening? She's like, look around. And I mean, and I saw dead, and I said, well, what exactly do you mean? And she said, there's people from all walks of life. I mean, very dirty people, very, very wealthy people. You could see all types in there, in line and at the voting booths. And it was really powerful to see one man, one vote concept right there as America is. And it made me think immediately of recovery, like most things do, that when we come to the circle, when we come to the podcast, when we come to recovery meetings, it's one man, one voice. We're all equal. No matter if you're a CEO, no matter what your job title is, you sit in a circle and we're equal. And we all walk in this together. So I like to do that to also remind you that I'm just a smuck with a microphone. I'm not any more powerful. I'm not any more knowledgeable than anybody else. But we sit and we all have the same voice in recovery. So, and that's, I think, true of life as well. So in church, in our walk, realizing that everyone has the same worth, the same value that we do. So that was a little bonus soapbox preaching there. Sorry about that, Keith. Anything you want to say to any of those before we jump into step 11?
No, that's some powerful words, Doug. I really appreciate it. And it's a great message for the way, even post-election, you know, just making sure that, because there's going to be, as we talked about earlier, there's going to be half of the country that's pretty upset, that's disenfranchised, that could be disenfranchised, and it could really spill over into our relationships, too, and keep us from having those types of relationships. And I agree with you, man. That's the thing that I love about recovery, being able to sit in that circle and know that I have that space that I can share what's with my heart without interruption, and being able to be accepted for what I say too. And so that's, man, I so many times I've wished that church and society was way more like one of our meetings, that we had to stop and listen when someone else spoke and not try to fix them, not try to provide feedback, but just to listen and to understand. That's a great reminder.
Absolutely, absolutely. So with that, let's jump into step 11. You know, you shared with me some thoughts that were on your heart. I think it's a chance to be a powerful conversation, but just set the stage. Step 11 in recovery says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As we understood God, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. So, jumping off point, what does that mean to you? What are some things that jump out of that?
Yeah, so for me, Doug, this is something I struggled with quite a bit before recovery and after as well. Is, man, how do I do that? How do I improve my contact with God? In the past, it felt really hollow. To be quite honest, I would pray. It was much more like a transactional approach. I was, you know, I've been involved in church my entire life, so you could put the term religious on me very well. I knew the Bible pretty well. I actually taught quite a bit too, but really having conscious contact with God, and then that part that really gets me is praying for only for knowledge of His will. That is something I've never understood, is how do I actually know what God's will is? That's been the most confusing thing to me throughout my journey in life, is really understanding exactly what God's will is and how to actually find that. I don't know if that resonates with you, but that's something that's really been difficult for me.
Oh yeah, completely resonates with me. And you know, I don't know that if it's a gender thing and a man thing, but a lot of times we're very left-brain people, right? So we're project planners. We're people that work in this capacity where we're trying to say, we want to get this done by a certain date. Here's the benchmarks we need to do that. But it doesn't work like that with this. And so it kind of feels counterintuitive a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what I expected. That's what I kept looking for. And I think other men that I've talked to as well have had similar situations, is I expected God to deliver His will and His guidance to me in a thought out plan. And okay, here's what's coming up. Here's what the rest of your week, rest of your month, rest of your year are going to look like. Here's what to expect so you can prepare for your future. It just never worked out that way. And I didn't have it yet. And I still didn't have His plan for me, and I didn't understand why.
Yeah, and I think for me, when I think of the words power to carry that out, I used to think that meant give me the strength to do like what His will is, and I think that's true. But for me, the power to carry that out is the power to be able to sit and wait. The power to carry that out means the power to listen. And so, you know, for me, the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out means that it's not me coming, like you said, in a transactional way, like, here's what I think, God, let's let these things happen. Give me this, give me that, I'll do this and I'll do that. And like, boom, let's call it a day. It doesn't work that way. It's more, let me sit and let me listen. And that took some power for me, and it still does. It's something I wrestle with all the time. But the knowledge of what He wants, not the knowledge of what I want. And it's amazing that those things can get so confusing. You know, when you say them as words, they don't sound very confusing, but when I'm praying, they sound, I mean, it can sound a lot alike. Like, I want this, God. I want my family to be healthy. That sounds like something from God's will. I want I want to have money that I can use to benefit other people, and I want to have this, and they're all good things, but I don't know if that's his will or not.
Yeah, that's a great point. You mentioned that. You mentioned some words that make me really uncomfortable, and that's wait and sit. You know, and those are things I don't do well at all. But there are times that God really wants us to do just that. And you know, what I found recently, I recently did a Bible study in a great book, and I highly recommend it. It's called Experiencing God. And so, a number of you may know it, by Henry Blackaby. But in that study, he made it very, very apparent that the place we go to understand God's will is first, we have to go to his word. And that's exactly where we start. Because if we want to know God's heart and know him, we go to his word. But when we do that, we see incredible examples of exactly what you just said. We remember Paul's incredible transformation and the bright light and Jesus talking specifically to him and changing his life from a persecutor of the church to an incredible missionary. What we don't remember is the fact that after that happened, he had to wait. Yes, he had to wait to get his sight back for 3 days, but he actually went into the wilderness for years to prepare to be a missionary. He didn't immediately go out. God had him wait. A lot of times he has us wait just to prepare us, to get us ready for what he has for us. Not something I really like to hear or want to hear, but it's how he works. Because, yes, he may reveal some things that he wants to do through us, but he also has to prepare us to be ready to do those things exactly. Mm. Not a concept I enjoy here.
Yeah, for sure not. Not me either. And it's interesting you bring up experiencing God. It's a... I remember, and I hope I'm attributing this to the right book, but I remember in a men's Bible study years and years ago. I mean, I'm well in my addiction. I'm in a men's Bible study, of course, not admitting anything except for, you know, perfection at this point. But we're talking about experiencing God. And I remember in the workbook or the book, one of the two, he talks about that if you're driving along the road and you see, you know, a car broken down and you're like, oh man, I should stop and help them. That's the voice of God. Like, that's actually those times you feel like I should do that, you know, and you kind of wrestle with that. That's God speaking. And I remember that was the first time I really thought that concept was so unique and so interesting. But that's God's will, is really just listening for where are you being prodded? Where are you saying, you know what, I don't really have time for that. And as soon as I start to say that, say, wait, I'm not the power to carry that out. I'm not letting it be his will. And yeah. So I found that to be an interesting concept. It's interesting you brought up that book, because I think that's where I first started to open the door to that concept.
That's exactly right. And you hit on something that's extremely important. It's when you hear that voice, when you hear that prodding, Scripture's very clear about the fact that if you have made that decision to accept Christ, if you have made a saving decision to accept Christ, then you have opened yourself up to the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that voice that you're hearing is you're submitting and you're being open to the Holy Spirit guiding you on a day-to-day basis and on a moment-to-moment basis. And that's the thing that I love that this book really made clear, is exactly what you talked about. It's those moment-by-moment situations. It's not a grand, large plan. It's I'm submitting and being available to God's will daily and almost minute by minute in every decision that I make. Mm. And so hearing that voice and actually responding and validating that truly is where God wants me to go is an important part of understanding and knowing what his will is. But the power to carry that out, exactly like you said, comes from him, not from me.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And I think the book pointed out, if I remember right again, that the less we act on those voices, the less times I stop and help someone on the side of the road or say something when I'm prodded in a work conversation, the harder it is to hear his voice the next time. And it exponentially gets harder. And so that's the downside as well, is, you know, we are calling upon our higher power to give us strength. And so we need to listen to that higher power. I've heard it said, and I probably said on the podcast before, that God's voice is quiet. And it's not one that's going to compete with the crowd because he doesn't need to compete. So I've heard the analogy that if you go to most modern stadiums on like a Monday morning, right? So it's the day after the big football game. You could sit on one side of the stadium and your friend could sit on the opposite side of the stadium and he could speak in a pretty much a regular voice and you'd be able to hear him. But on game day, the day before, if you go on a Sunday and he speaks in a regular voice two seats down from you, you're not going to be able to hear him. So it's the same way with the voice of God. If we're in a quiet, meditative place, we can hear God from a long way off. But if we surround ourselves with all these distractions and all these loud noises and all these things, we can't hear him if he's right next to us. Which, of course, we know he's always right next to us. But the analogy of his voice, I think, really impacts me because I see how all the things that I can do in life just distract me from what I really need to be listening to. And so I love that analogy.
It's in the beginning of the step, exactly what you talked about. How do we seek to improve our conscious contact with God? Through prayer and meditation. And those are very quiet, personal ways, you know, because that's how he speaks. He speaks individually and directly to us, not across a billboard, not that he can't, not that he doesn't. He can speak however he wants to. He's God. But he wants to have that personal, intimate relationship with us. And really the way that we do that is we go and pursue that with him. We make ourselves available to do that. And so that's what's really, as we talked about earlier, that's what really had pierced my heart related to step 11 is, you know, how do I continually do that? How do I continually seek out my conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation? And so that's really what this book helped me go through. And I came up with, you know, a few ways that I'd like to share that helped me stay focused on doing that.
Absolutely. Love to hear those. But I do think God does write on billboards. I've seen them, right? Haven't you seen all those God billboards? That love your neighbor stuff, I meant that. God, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think he does do that. That's right.
All right. So what are some ideas? You talked about reading the Word, being in the Word, but what are some other practical ways that we can work step 11?
Now, for anybody listening to this that's in recovery, you're either going to love this or not like this. I find there are two camps here, and that's related to journaling. So people either really, really enjoy writing things down and getting a journal and capturing their thoughts, or they struggle with it. And I've been in either camp at different times. But I encourage you to just get a journal just for your Bible reading. So be very specific about doing that. And trust me on this. It's great for me to remember the things that I've covered, where I'm at. I can go back and see different situations that I was praying through and trying to get through and see what God was telling me in the middle of it. When I'm in the middle of something, it's very, very hard to see it. So getting a journal before you even really start being specific about Bible reading and improving your conscious contact with God is extremely important. So I encourage you to do that.
Yeah, I think that is a good one. It is a tough one. For a lot of people, they think, well, what good is journaling? I remember I was in that camp. I've heard my own personal kids say this. Like, I already have my own thoughts. I know them. What's the good of writing them down? But there's just something about it. It comes out differently, and all of a sudden, your eyes are opened up in a new way. And also, just like struggles, things that are going on, sometimes just speaking them into the universe takes their power away. Well, so does writing them down. And I just think sometimes, like for me, if I'm battling anxiety, which I've shared, I battle anxiety. One of the ways that I can cope with that is to make a list. Even if I already know, like, I'm going to do these three things and there's no way in the world I'm going to forget those three things because that's what I've been worrying about for a week. But even if I just write those three things down in a post-it note, for some reason, my brain's like, okay, you can set that down now. That post-it note is somehow going to save you. So it's the same thing, I think, with the journal. And I think it's a really good exercise that, you know, you're prompting me to think I need to get back into that more.
Yeah, that's been extremely helpful for me. If I don't put something into my schedule and do it that way, I struggle with making it a habit. We all know that if you do something for 30 days straight, it starts to become a habit. And that's something I encourage you to do. The second part I really take is of course, then get into the Word. You know, get into the Bible. And I'll tell you, I've found a really, really helpful tool to do this. There's a website and an app called blueletterbible.org. And it's a really neat way to get into your Bible. You also have on your phone, if you have an iPhone, you have the Holy Bible app most people get and use. And that's a great one as well. I like using this one because it has concordances that are attached to it that help me understand what I read, because that's what I really struggle with. But what I tend to do is to not try to bite off more than I can chew. So I'm not a Bible scholar. You know, I'm not. I've struggled for years to try to understand and to really understand what the Bible's saying, what it's saying to me. And now, you know, I understand why I've not been real open to what God said to me. And so I take it in small bits, Doug. I read 10 minutes maybe a day, maybe 15 at the most. But I just went through Philippians. So I started in Philippians. You know, I started in chapter 1 and read the first, you know, I'd read a passage. A lot of times your Bible will have paragraph dividers to tell you, you know, when this thought is done. But for me, I started in Philippians and read Philippians 1 through 11. Hmm. And that was it. And then looking in those verses, then I stop and reread it again and say, okay, in these verses, is there any part that's speaking to me? And when I was reading Philippians 1 through 11, just for an example, what I focused in on was verse 6, which says, "For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus."
Hmm.
And so I'll take that and I'll write that verse down. You know, and I'll just write it down in my journal. That's where I start, is the passage that I read and then the verse that's really speaking to me. And then just start from there. Just write down specifically that verse that's resonating with me, if that makes sense.
Man, that does. That does. I remember when I was just in recovery, I was talking with my counselor at the time, and he said, "Well, tell me about your Bible reading. You profess to be a Christian." I was like, "I read... you know, I try to read 2 or 3 chapters a day. I try to read through the Bible in a year, yada, yada," like trying to get my gold star on the wall like I'm in elementary school still, is basically what my response felt like looking back on it. And I remember him saying, "Here's your assignment. This week, for the whole week, you can only read 7 words out of the Bible. And I want you to find those 7 words, write it on a note card, and carry it in your pocket. And when you've want to read the Bible, when you want to get that gold star, you pull that out and you read those 7 words again and again and again." And I just remember how powerful that was, to have one little section of scripture that I could meditate on for a week. Mm-hmm. And I could see how it unfolded for me. And it no longer became a race to see, could I read the whole Bible in a year? Could I do all this thing and check these things off and be a good Christian? Because he was pointing me in the direction of, It frankly, it doesn't matter. If you're going to read the Bible through in a year, but you're not going to let it into your heart, you just wasted 20 minutes a day, right? You just,
right.
So take what you can. Take 5 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day, exactly like you're saying, and make it meaningful. Make it speak to you. And I just think that was a really powerful thing as well.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Doug. That's been really powerful. The church that I attend in 2018, everybody in the congregation got a chronological Bible through the church, and we, as a church, read through the Bible in a whole year, in a year. And so felt really accomplished. Wow, this is great. I get to check this off. I can say that I've read the entire Bible, but to your point, how much did I really get out of it? And I'll be honest, not a lot. I mean, right. Not a lot. I didn't meditate on it. I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek to understand the scripture. And doing this has really changed how I approach, his word. Is I'm not trying to race anybody.
Yeah.
I'm really looking at, what do I want to spend time in? And a really good friend that's led a number of Bible studies that I've been in taught me this way to approach when I step into his word, is that, pray for what God has to reveal to me, because it's up to the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me. I can't understand his scripture and the real meanings behind it without His Holy Spirit opening that up to me. Mm-hmm. And so not walking into that and not having an agenda about, I'm trying to find this out, but much more around, okay, what's God trying to reveal to me about himself and about what he has that I can participate in? And that's really what his will is he's at work always, right?
Right.
He's always at work. What is he going to reveal to me that I can participate in? Just exactly like you talked about when you have that urging around, hey, look, here's something happening right here with somebody broken down with a car. I'm giving you the opportunity to participate in a moment that I have. So it's up to you whether you're going to step in or not. And so that's the way I've been approaching my Bible reading is, okay, what does God have for me? And what's he trying to show me that where he's at work that I could actually participate in?
Right. Exactly. And I mean, I want to encourage people that if you were like me, I was reading the Bible like it was a historical document only, period, end of sentence. So, you know, I got into the, let's break this down to this is the Greek of that, and this is what the Jewish culture meant. And if that's your jam, go for it. I'm not knocking that by any stretch. I mean, we need that. But I don't think that's what creates a relationship with Jesus. I don't think that's what opens the gates of heaven. I don't think it does any of those things, because I don't think God's like, if you can figure out exactly what the Greek word was this and make sure you fold it over with the Jewish culture as you read this document, I don't think he's wanting us to take a history class. I think he wants us to take that, plant the seed for what does it look like now going forward? Like, what does this look like in your culture, in your life for you now? And I think that's why the Bible changes in application, not in what the words say, but in the way that we can plant it in our culture and do that. Because I think that's what God's trying to reveal to us. And I think that this approach of meditation helps it be something that's a revelation rather than just a study of some historical document.
That's a great word. It's really true. I talk about when I find a verse that I like or that's resonating with me, I look at the concordances that have learned scholars way smarter than I am that have an opinion, and that's the key thing. They have an opinion upon the meaning of, in the case of Philippians, what Paul was saying at that particular time. That doesn't mean that's exactly what I'm going to get out of this. That gives me some different data points to think about and meditate about. But ultimately, that's the incredible thing about reading his word. It's not the historical context. It's what's the Holy Spirit trying to reveal to me in this moment? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is he trying to tell me? And so that's what I do. After I write the verse down, then I just write down, okay, what am I getting out of this? You know, and some of the things I talked about, like I said from verse 6, where he who began a good work, the things that I got out of that was God doesn't start and not finish. He's continuing to perfect me. He's active in my life. He never lets go. Thank goodness for that. Hmm. He wants me to do good works, and his works are good works. And so those were the things that I took away. And so that allowed me to say, okay, those are the things you're telling me, God. Now I've got time to stop and pray about it. And that's really my next step, is I just stop there and pray to discover and to validate what he has for me. And I don't know about how you approach that, but that's really where I get to when I get to that point in reading Scripture.
Yeah, I think that is really the way in which we need to approach it and way to see it. And I even think for those that are out there listening that you're like, okay, I'm not sure that I profess Christianity. I listen to this because, you know, I'm looking for ways to get through sex addiction and work the steps in my own way and my own higher power. It's that same concept that there is a flow that we want to get in. There is a flow. And I really truly believe that higher power and that energy and that flow is God. But even if that's not your professed belief right now, these are still concepts that you can let wash over you, and the idea that there is a way for you to hear what is the next step for you, what is the next right thing for you to do.
Yes, great point. And there are times that I really don't even feel like talking to God, to be quite honest, or I'm angry with him or things are going on in my life, and the meditation piece is huge for me, just to stop and to remember and to be thankful for where I am right now. So that's really the way that I approach it. it's a great point. Whether you see you profess a relationship with Christ or not, that's a big part, but not everything. When it comes to stopping and improving my conscious contact with my higher power, and that's what I'm trying to do. And so the way that I do it is I just follow a very, very simple acrostic that I use called ACTS. And I know this isn't new. And as a matter of fact, my wife is the one who told me this and told me about how she prays. And that really opened my mind. And it's ACTS is acknowledge, confess, thank, and supplicate. And so first, whenever I write something down and I have some scripture that I want to meditate on and I think that God's telling me something in that, then I just stop. And I pray to see what direction that I might get from that. So I acknowledge God. I thank God for who he is. You know, I acknowledge that he is God. He is my higher power. He is who I am submitting to. Like I said in step three, that I submit my life and my will to his care. And so I acknowledge that. For me, it's just like I'm revisiting that every day. That I, God, again, I'm doing step three. I'm submitting my life and will to you, to your mm-hmm. care, because under my care, it obviously didn't work out that well.
Right.
And so then then I stop and I confess. These are the things that I might be struggling with. There might be some intrusive thoughts that I'm having a problem with. I may have taken some second looks. I may have, you know, whatever those things are that are impacting me that I haven't yet confessed to someone else. I'm first confessing to him. You know, first confessing to God, and that's the exercise I'm trying to get into, is to do that, to stop and confess and to let him know. Because he knows everything, but the actual act of stopping and doing that and honoring him through that is really, really important in my relationship with him, because that's really what I'm trying to build, relationship with him, right?
Mm, absolutely. That's the key word, relationship. And I like you pointing out that idea of, we tried it on our own already. Like, we saw where that ended up. And so let's let the one who's designed to do it. And I think that's such a, sounds simple. It's not easy to do, but I love that idea of, let's not take our own will, because we know where that goes. At least I know where it goes for me. And another thing I thought of while you were speaking earlier was, you know, about timing, and we don't know God's timing, and we put it on his plate and his, you know, he's got a timeline that we don't know and we don't understand. And a lot of times people say, you know, well, God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And almost say that like it's dismissive. Like, I'm sorry, bad things happen to you. Like, these are negatives that happen, but God's, you know, he thinks differently than you. And it's almost a depressing verse, but it's in Isaiah 55. So pick it up and read it. Read the rest of that chapter. Because there's nothing depressing about what he's saying about his thoughts are not our thoughts and neither are your ways my ways. Later in that same chapter, he says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. And then he goes down and he says later, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst in song before you. Those are all really good things. And so his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. Good thing, right? They're better than our things. He has better things for us. So sometimes we use that as like this way to say, well, I'm sorry bad things are happening, but that's not how that verse is intended to be, I don't believe.
I think you're 100% right on that, Doug. That's fantastic. Thank goodness his thoughts and ways are not ours. You know, I've got a years and years and years of experience of listening to my own thoughts and ways, and they lead to destruction. They lead to bad things. There's no question about it. And God's very, very clear. He loves us. I mean, that's his essence and his nature is love. And if that's his essence and his nature, everything he does is for our benefit. Everything that he does is for our benefit. It's not malicious and it's not maligning and it's not to punish. Everything that he does is to benefit us. And so it really changes my whole way of thinking around how the circumstances that are going on in my life. And that's exactly what they are. They're circumstances. But what God has, what he has for me is good, period. It just is. I may not see it in the middle of it, and it's painful and it's difficult. But it's also seeking to get me to a point where I can either listen to his will or understand his will and do his will, and I'm ready to do that. That's really what he's trying to do, and so that's really, really freeing. I appreciate you sharing that very much.
Yeah, so as we wrap up, I just also thought that like some more practical ideas. So, you know, we have the Castamonia Big Book. You can get one at castamonia.org. Reach out to George. Do that. If you go to meetings, obviously, that's a place to get it as well. But in the Big Book, there's a workbook. It's the back half of that book. And the step 11, basically, you go through some things that when you're meditating on every day, what are you hearing? So it's just a way to start that journaling. But also, what's put in there are unanswered prayers. It makes me think of a Garth Brooks song. But when you think of the unanswered prayers, where is God saying no to you? And that's letting you know I'm really listening to his will. And I'm okay with the no because God said it. And that's a big concept. And so just knowing, going through this day after day, getting used to meditation, listening for where does God say move and where does God say turn around. And I just think those are really practical, good concepts to do. Obviously, you could Google step 11 workbooks, step 11 steps, and you could find other ways to work the step. But I think that's a great place to start as well.
All good stuff. I agree. And you hit on the last thing, as you said, as we're getting ready to really wrap up. When you pray, when you go through those things, when you seek to understand what God has for you, pay attention because he answers. You know, just pay attention. When you go to him and you take those things to him and you ask for his guidance and what he's trying to reveal to you, pay attention because he works and he answers, and he answers quickly. And so there are so many times that I've prayed and then just not understood or not even seen how he was responding to me. So I encourage you to do that. It's not a black hole that you send messages to and you know, hope someday to get an answer to. He does. It may not be in the way that you expect, and it usually isn't for me, but pay attention because he does, and he wants that contact with us.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Well, this has been fun. It's been fun to talk. Hopefully for listeners out there, this has resonated with you on some level. We always love to hear from you, even if it's to say, hey, I don't get that or I disagree with that. That's fine, too. We'll let George handle all the emails that are disagreements. I'm just kidding. We'll all handle those. But it's at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. Again, puritypodcast@castamonia.org. Also, check out castamonia.org/podcasts, and you can get all the books that we reference in the show, as well as other resources that are out there. But Keith, thank you so much for sharing your heart, sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thanks, Doug. It's been great to be here. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate what you do in this podcast, man. It's really important to me in my own recovery, so thank you for that. For George, less so, but thank you.
All right. Well, we've done a good bit of picking on George. That's always kind of fun, but thank you for that. And for those of you out there walking on this road of recovery, just remember, you are not walking alone.